Present.
Excuse me, this is Angela McLemore representing Senator Mattie Hunter.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thomas Lemmer.
Here.
Leader Tony McCombie.
She is not attending, but Jen Passwater, I'm here as her staff.
Okay. Lisa Massenter.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. I'm here.
Okay. Rebecca Perone.
Yes, I'm here.
Amanda Pyron. Teresa Smith. Scheherazade Tillett.
Oh, shoot, they call me you.
Christina Villarreal.
I'm here.
Carrie Ward.
Good afternoon, present.
And then, did I miss anyone, or is anyone, I know there's more numbers on the call than when I started.
Senator Hunter is here for about 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Okay.
In between committees. Hello, everyone.
Okay. Right now, I do not believe we have quorum, but we can see if more people join and we aren't voting on anything today.
That sounds great. And I'm going to just veer a little bit from the agenda while we do have Senator Hunter on the line. Senator Hunter and Representative Buckner were both the sponsors of this Task Force Act. So I would Senator Hunter to be able to give us a few words of, you know, why this is important to her and what she hopes to accomplish with the task force. Senator Hunter.
Thank you very much, Director. Your title is Director, right?
Thanks to you in the Senate confirmation.
You know, there's so many different titles and everything, so I just want to make sure that I was on target. So good afternoon, everyone. We've had a number of problems in Chicago, and actually it's happening all over the state as well as all over the country in terms of Black women missing. Some they find, and others, they've been murdered, you know. And so, I mean, you talk to law enforcement, you talk to different community leaders, and you do whatever you can to find out what are the solutions, and you just don't know what the solutions are. And so the best thing we could do was to come up with, let's have a task force. Bring key people together who we believe can help us address this issue from a criminal justice perspective, a safety perspective, and a number of other different perspectives that we might even consider, you know. And so that's how Rep came up with this proposed solution. Create a task force, bring folks together, and let's talk about it and see what kind of difference can we make in the eyes of the face to prevent any further deaths from occurring. And to also look at some research, look at the data, also find out what in the heck is going on out here. You know, so that's really some of the main reasons. Thank you, Director.
I'm muted.
Hello, can you all hear me?
Yes. Thank you so much, Senator Hunter. And I will take us back through the agenda and do the welcome and introductions and ask, if you're not speaking, if you could be so kind and mute yourself. Thank you so much. Again, as Senator Hunter kind of level set for the group, this is an important task force. for Illinois. We've never had a task force like this before. We join our sister states in Minnesota, which has a missing and murdered African-American task force, and Wisconsin has a missing and murdered Indigenous women task force. And some very important work has come out of that, which will come out of Illinois that can inform, as Senator Hunter said, the work that's happening across the nation. So we will start with introductions. This is our first meeting. Have everyone introduce themselves. And then at that point, I'll have Representative Buckner's representative, who is Delana Reese, give us a few words on behalf of Rep. Buckner on why this is important. So if we could start with, let me go to the participant list. Oh, I'll just go off of this. We could have task members introduce themselves, maybe starting with Thomas Lemire, former deputy chief of police.
Thomas Lemmer, thank you. Yes, I'm appointed through the Act's request for someone from an Illinois Chiefs Association member. So I'm a member of the Illinois Chiefs of Police, been for several years now, and former deputy chief of the Chicago Police Department. I ended as deputy chief of crime control strategies, responsible for management accountability purposes, including CompStat. The task force is... has quite a challenge ahead of it, and we'll see what we can accomplish.
Thank you. Do people want to just jump in, or should I call folks out? All right, Lisa Massenter.
Hello, just checking again that you can hear me. I apologize, I'm in my car.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. excuse me. I am here representing the Illinois Department of Public Health. I am the Deputy Director for the Office of Women's Health and Family Services. And as we get further into this, I'm sure I'll be able to think about the different intersections with which we can bring some of the expertise from the Public Health Department to this task force. And it's an honor to be here and here to serve however we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Jennifer Green.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. We're sort of a two-for-one today because we just came out of another meeting with the Department of Human Services. So I have Margaret Duvall with me as well. I am Jennifer Green. I'm the Director of Policy and Advocacy at Lifespan, which is an organization in Cook County that serves folks who experience domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. We do quite a bit of work already with folks who are at risk for being killed, not just by their abusive partner, but also while engaging in sex work or as survivors of trafficking. And we're really excited to be here. And I'm going to go ahead and let Margaret introduce herself since we're in this very small room together.
Thank you, Jen. And I expect in future meetings we will occupy separate boxes. But today, Jen has been kind enough to let me share her laptop. Margaret Duvall, I'm the executive director at Ascend Justice. We are a provider of civil legal services for survivors of gender-based violence, primarily in Cook County and in Chicago.
Thank you so much, Margaret and Jennifer. And if we can move to Rebecca from the Cook County Medical Examiner.
Hi, yes, I'm the indigent coordinator here at the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office. I have a staff of three grief counselors that are working with families to identify homicide victims here at this office, as well as unidentified decedents. And I work a lot with the unidentified and identifying them here at the medical examiner's office. So I have direct access to families that are affected by the missing and murdered women in this city and this county. So I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Rebecca. Okay, I know I'm going to mispronounce your name, Ms. Tillett. If you could say your name correctly so that I can write it down and introduce yourself, that would be great.
Hi, my name is, Shahrazad. You said it right, I think. And my last name is Tillett, and I'm on the call with Porsche Gardner, who is the director of operations at Along Wacombe, and I am the executive director of Along Wacombe, and we use arts to end violence against women and girls. And we currently have been working on this issue for the last, we specifically work with Black girls and train them to become leaders around this. And so this has been a huge issue that our young people unfortunately have happening to them and are impacted by. And we've been doing some work for the last 7 years with the indigenous people, and just to kind of educate ourselves around this topic, but doing solidarity work around missing and murdered, and have had public art installations of altars right now with the city of Chicago that will be have an exhibition in the fall at the cultural Chicago Cultural Center around missing and murdered, an altar for the people who've gone missing and murdered. And so, yes, that's my name.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Great introduction. We'll move it to Christina Villarreal.
Good afternoon. I'm Christina Villarreal. I am representing Planned Parenthood of Illinois. I am a lawyer by training, but have a lot of experience in government, criminal justice, as well as social services and health. And many years ago, as a congressional staffer, I worked on the missing, mutilated, murdered women of Ciudad Juarez. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you.
Carrie Ward.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carrie Ward. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault. ICASA is a network of statewide rape crisis centers throughout Illinois, and I am fulfilling the role of a representative from the statewide organization on the task force. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And did I miss any other task force members? Okay, I think we have everyone. There are some IC just staff on here. I'd like for Javon Gregoire, our chief of staff, to introduce herself, as well as our general counsel, Christina Dion. Christina, you wanna go first? Oh, I think we lost Christina. Okay, and we also have our research director, Timothy Lavery, on, as well as some of our staff that will be helping to administer the task force meetings for you all, Amanda Vasquez, as well as Dawn English. You'll get a lot of emails from Dawn. She's actually gonna be the person that really communicates back and forth with you all in terms of scheduling. And now I would just like to take this time to welcome Delana Reese, who is here on behalf of Representative Buckner, to explain why Rep. Buckner was an early champion of the legislation and establishing the task force. Delana?
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. For some reason, it won't allow me to start my video from here. I tried to accept I changed the settings, but it won't let me. So I'm sorry that you can't see me for this one, but I'm sure for the next one, I'll have all of my technology things worked out. Hi, everybody. I'm Delana Reese. I serve as the chief of staff for State Representative Cam Buckner, who is the state representative for the Illinois 26th House District. I am excited to be joining you all today. Representative Buckner is going to try to hop on just to say hello during some point of this meeting, but they did have to go back to Springfield for the budget. So he's in meetings right now, caucus meetings right now for having discussions about the budget. So I, on his behalf, thank you for hosting today. One thing that was very important to Representative Buckner, just to give some background, he grew up in a house full of women. He is the only boy of four sisters, three sisters. And when he first got into the legislative role, he continued to see stories about how women were missing. Women and girls were missing around Chicago. He looked back and saw that Congressman Rush at one point had started to look into this and start conversations about the investigations of what is happening. Is this a serial killer? What's happening to the Black and brown women and girls of Chicago? And the FBI came out and they started the investigation. However, they ran out of funding to continue this investigation. So he looked at this and figured, how can the state be of service? How can he be of service in this space in order to help facilitate the conversation and to actually investigate some, see what's happening? So that's just some of the background. He's been an advocate against human trafficking. We've hosted town halls around Chicago and in district, and I worked with some organizations who help advocate against human trafficking and et cetera. But are there any, and I think that's the whole background of why he decided that this was something that needed some attention. Because if this was anywhere else, or if this were any group of other people, it would look a whole lot different. So it was very important to him that he took the charge and continued to be verbal and express this. Are there any questions that I may be able to answer? And thank you all so much for having me, allowing me to come and join on his behalf as well.
Thank you so much, Delaina. And I'm sure there may be questions at the end, so I'm hoping you can stay for the whole first task force meeting. Hearing no questions, I'd like to turn it over to our general counsel, Christina Dion, to share a short PowerPoint with you, which will kind of walk us through the goals of the task force, what are the reporting requirements, and then give you a little bit more detail on what ICJ's role will be in the process. So, Christina. We can't hear you, Christina. I think you're on mute. Okay.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you perfect.
All right. And are you able to see the PowerPoint presentation?
Yes. Oh, no, you're muted again.
All right. How about now?
Yes.
I am not tech savvy at all, so I apologize. Thank you all again for joining us. We just wanted to do a brief introduction to the task force and kind of walk you through what the statute says our requirements are. So first, kind of walking through the purpose of this task force, there are a couple of goals that we'd like to achieve, or a couple of purposes for which this legislation was put into place. First, the task force is charged with advising the director of Illinois State Police and the Chicago Police Superintendent. We'll also report recommendations to reduce and end violence against Chicago women and girls. And as we've heard from members of the legislature, there's a primary focus on Black and brown communities. The group is to serve as a liaison between ISP, the CPD superintendent, and other agencies that provide victim services. And we are able to seek out and enlist the cooperation of those non-governmental organizations, community and advocacy organizations, academic researchers and experts, specifically those that focus on missing women and girls in diverse communities. We wanted to highlight the major areas for which we are to provide reporting. And we'll talk a little bit later about how we can determine how we're going to tackle this work, because it is pretty meaty work. First, we're to address the systemic causes behind violence that Chicago women and girls experience. Then we also will address the appropriate methods for tracking and collecting data on violence against Chicago women and girls. We will evaluate policies and institutions that impact violence against Chicago women and girls. And there's some examples provided in the statute, but we can kind of go broader, addressing policing, child welfare, medical examiner practices, and other governmental practices. And I think that given the group that we've assembled here today, we should get a wide range of perspectives to address those policies and institutions. We'll consider the measures necessary to address and reduce violence against Chicago women and girls. And then consider measures to help victims, victims' families, and victims' communities prevent and heal from the violence that has occurred. Just a brief note about the reporting. The annual reports are due on or before December 31st. They will include addressing the topics that I just mentioned. We will provide recommendations to the governor's office and the General Assembly regarding institutional policies and practices, or proposing institutional policies and practices that will be effective in reducing the gender-related violence that we will be discussing. We'll provide recommendations to reduce and end violence against Chicago women and girls, and recommendations to help victims and communities heal, as I mentioned. We are charged with reviewing the available research, best practices, and effective interventions to formulate our recommendations. And we'll talk a little bit about how the staff at ICJ can assist in that in a moment. And we'd also ask that the task force create a working group that will actually draft the report. And we'll talk a bit about getting that group together. ICJ staff will review and edit those reports and submit on behalf of the task force. Just a brief word about our agency. For those of you who are not particularly familiar with us, ICJ is a state agency dedicated to improving the administration of criminal justice. We bring together leaders from the justice system and the public, like we do here in this task force and others, to address critical issues like this faced by the criminal justice system. And we propose and evaluate policies, programs, and legislation that address those issues. Our work is focused on a number of areas, particularly grant administration for entities that would provide violence prevention in the community, victim services, et cetera. We have research and analysis as a primary, one of the primary pieces of our work. We also do policy and planning and information systems and technology. With this task force, ICJ is going to have a big part in helping with the work that you all will do. First, as you've heard, our executive director, Del Reese Adams, was responsible for appointing all of the non-legislative members that you see here on the task force today. You all serve two-year terms, and as vacancies arise, Director Adams will fill those vacancies. I believe that there are a couple of openings in the statutory categories for which we need members. So if you have individuals that you'd like to recommend for the task force, please let us know, and they'll go through the same vetting process that you all did. We'll find if there's a spot available for them. And if not, you know, if we have, if we don't have vacancies that the individuals that you suggest can fill, we can always have those individuals speak at various meetings because we do want a diverse range of perspectives to help inform those recommendations. The Office of General Counsel, for which I am a representative, and Dawn English, who you heard from today and who sent you a lot of the email correspondence, we will provide legal counsel to the task force. To the extent that you have legal inquiries, you can send those to Dawn, and our team will address those. We're also participate in kind of your initial correspondence would have been with Dawn. We ensure that members are properly vetted pre-appointment, and we ensure compliance with the Open Meeting Act throughout our meetings. Our research and analysis group is headed by Tim Laborly and his team. They will provide research to this group as needed and assist in identifying speakers for meetings. And of course, we'll review the reports that are generated by the task force and the writing group. And as an agency as a whole, we will draft the meeting minutes and agendas for the meeting. But we wanted to stress here that this is your task force, and kind of where this group heads is going to be up to you. And we are here to provide support as much as you, as much or as little as you need. If you are a member of some of our other task forces, this is kind of a newer move for us in the way that we're structuring this group. We would like for the task force to form a writing committee that would be responsible for putting together those annual reports that I discussed. As I mentioned, they're due December 31st. So kind of throughout the year, as we're getting recommendations, the writing committee would be responsible for gathering information, taking notes, and then ultimately putting that report together. Excuse me. And our team will assist in making sure we have a good final product. ICJ will provide the meeting space both for this group and for the writing committee. I can anticipate that the writing committee might want to meet in person, and we are certainly able to provide those spaces as needed. And then the final report that is drafted by the writing committee will be voted on and approved by the full task force. So that is just kind of a brief introduction to the task force. And then with that, I will pass it back over to Director Adams for the next part of the agenda. Thank you.
There was a question. December 31 this year, I'm assuming you're asking, is the report due this year?
Okay. So, yes, as Dawn put in, our first report is due December 2024. So we do have a long ramp to be able to really put together some good substantive work and research into our recommendations and the work that we're doing with this task force.
And then the task force does not have an expiration date. So just to manage all of the work that you'll be doing for a very long time, it's a report due annually December 31st after the 2024 initial report. Thank you for that, Christina. So as you all just saw in our brief presentation, ICJ's role is really just to help and support the group. And so I am acting as the chair today just to get us moving. But per the statute, the task force will need to annually elect a chair and a vice chair and may elect other officers as you see fit or as necessary. For this task force, the chair, again, will direct the group's activities and guide the task force meetings, set the agenda, and things of that nature, whereas the vice chair will serve as the lead for the writing committee and will lead meetings in event of the chair's absence. So between now and next meeting, if you could send nominations for chair and or vice chair, you can nominate yourself, that's fine. And if you could send those to Dawn English, you should have her email, as she sent out the invitation invite for this meeting, but we'll put her email in the chat just to be sure. And if you can send those nominations to her, we will have a voting mechanism for our next meeting to elect your chair and your vice chair. Any questions about that? Okay, great. So we'll just move along on.
Tom Lummer here.
Oh, sure.
Yep. We the task force members don't even have a listing of who else is on the task force yet. So we're kind of jumping ahead here. We're trying to elect a chair and a vice chair, and we're not even sure who we are on the committee with.
Okay, great point. On your, and maybe this is just on the annotated agenda, so we will make sure a list is circulated. It'll also be important that you know the categories that people are on the task force under, so we will get that to you and where the vacancies lie so that you can also give us some recommendations for other task force members while you're nominating for those two positions. So thank you so much for pointing that out. Any other observations or questions? Right, so Christina, if you could pull up slide 3 of the PowerPoint again. The next agenda item is discussion of the task force goals. So the task force will be guided by the statutory requirements, but how you address each of the topic areas will be left up to the task force group. So like one idea that came up in preliminary discussions was to have two or more meetings to address each of the 5 categories that need to be covered. Each of these categories in and of itself could take a year or two to really unpack, have data analysis around, and really have deep-rooted discussion. But in the interest of your timeline of trying to meet the requirement of a first initial report, December 31, like one idea is to, you know, kind of back into that date and spend two or more meetings to address each of the categories. Our team thought we could schedule speakers if you'd like to address each topic. We definitely will help take notes and start the recommendations as they begin to flow from the task force conversations. But at this time, we like to open the floor for discussion as to whether, you know, this is the best approach, or do you have other ideas for how you would like to proceed in making sure that you're able to address all of the statutory requirements.
Tom Lumber here. I think there needs to be an in-person planning session where the members of the committee get together and start to work this out. I don't think that a formal open meetings process is, you know, probably the best venue to do that.
Okay. That's one recommendation for an in-person planning meeting.
I'm also curious how much research, existing research ICJ might have that could help contribute to the conversation.
So Jennifer, our research director, Tim, is actually now. And Tim, you can kind of chime in, because even if our agency has not done extensive research, if that's something you all would like to say, like at the next meeting, to really start out with a level setting of all of the data that's already been collected and some, I guess, best practices or standard practices that other task forces have done. We're happy to do that type of support for you all as well, but I'll let and give some suggestions around that.
Yeah, I mean, I see it from two lens. One lens is really, we know that affected communities that are populated by women of color, there's larger systemic social issues. So one direction could be looking at those issues just in and of themselves, and then the intersection of gender with those issues. That's sort of the broad social direction. The other direction, and I think a very salient direction on what we can offer, is our research and analysis unit houses a Center for Victim Studies. That center is supported substantially by federal monies from the Victim of Crime Act, Violence Against Women Act. So we have our hands on a variety of studies and things that we've done. We have staff there to look at some of the fairly obvious types of issues that we might discuss in this group, sexual violence, domestic violence, things of that nature. We'll be able to bring folks to bear. I was kind of anticipating that we would let the questions emerge from the group and the group discussion, and then we would see what we have. But we have a variety of studies, plans, things of that nature that if they're salient, we can prop them up for this group.
And I think many of us on this call that provide services are very aware of the issue, and serving, you know, families and people who have been impacted by this. I think some of the more supporting data I'm thinking about are specifically the institutions that we need to be looking at. So I think it would be helpful for us to generate what kind of information or data we might need around things such as medical examiner practices or child welfare. I mean, you know, many of us have done this for a long time and have a great sense of the actual issue itself. But I think, you know, knowing that you all are here to provide data when we come up with the ask is a huge help.
Yeah, and to that point, just as a follow-up, you know, a lot of that is more proprietary and housed within the organization. We do have a variety of data sets, but quite candidly, probably not the perfect ones that we would need for this group. Fortunately, we do have the medical examiner on the committee. We've been in contact with Chicago police who may have key data elements and stats and records that could be brought to bear as well on missing persons, for example, missing person reports, things of that nature. So in that regard, I think my unit would act more as a lever, kind of greasing the wheels to try and figure out what we need and then try to make those contacts and work with task force members or bring people into the group as needed.
I have something to say also. You know, violence is a public health issue. And so violence against women, we not only need to look at it as a public health issue, but as some of there are some other things that we alluded to were social determinants of health. Okay, those are all public health issues that are intertwined with violence against women. And when we look at how we value women, especially Black women, we have to look at that and look at how the law also values Black women. And we have to look at how Black women, what are become murdered and missing all of a sudden. We may have to look at the have more to do with what's going on in our system of how the law is executed, what's going on in our police departments, in our sheriff department, and the relationships that they have, which are good, which is good that they see what's going on in some of these unlawful activities. They know this. And I feel they know the women who are involved in it. Why haven't they spoken up? Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see some head nods.
Absolutely, it does. And couldn't agree with you more.
And so I think we really need to have a good relationship with the different organizations like the sheriff's departments, like the local police departments, and other kinds of organizations like those, because they know these women. They do. And I think there needs to be some sort of relationship that they have with some public health agencies that they can refer these women to. I know I was listening to the news, and the news was talking about ComDart and a program that he has to give women transportation to a place of refuge. I think that's a good start, but they know these women, and I think somehow there has to be a relationship between the law enforcement authorities and those other organizations that deal with the social determinants of health. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that comment. If I could translate that into what an action item for the task force would be coming out of, you know, all that you shared, would be maybe some presentation by law enforcement to share how they identify the population, what relationships they have with different women and girls who are at higher risk than others. Maybe sharing with the task force what exists now and how that engagement and interaction happens. And then also having IDPH talk with you all about how they intersect, what their role is, what kind of resources and support they also have, and do they have any type of partnership with law enforcement?
Thank you.
Okay, great. Right, we're taking notes because all of this will shape out again. You will have a chair for your task force who will help set the agenda. This is a group that is very different in that it doesn't have a sunset date. And so you have, you know, an extended amount of time to learn. You, of course, have a set date for your first report, but that's still a year and a half out. So you can really gather some great information and data to lift up some really meaningful recommendations. So thank you for that input. Any other kind of ideas of what you think, you know, the task force needs, the direction you should go early on, what kinds of information you would need to like shape your early discussions and determine your sort of path forward?
Hi, this is Lisa from IDPH. Forgive me because I'm driving, so I can't see any materials. I was wondering, I have a couple questions in terms of process. I was wondering if there's an opportunity, if the task force identifies a stakeholder that we think would be helpful to, for example, engagement to community-based organizations, and they aren't a formal member of the task force, to pull them in, is there a process to do that?
Christina, can you speak to maybe what the vacancies on the task force are and if there is, you know, under the statute, allowance for bringing in other members?
Yes, we would have to, I have to pull up that list and I can put in the chat as soon as I pull up that list or Dawn has it handy. But to the extent that there are, as I mentioned, if there are no additional openings, to the extent that we want to pull in additional stakeholders, they can absolutely participate. One is members of the public to join our meetings and provide comments for the task force's consideration to kind of inform the recommendations that we make. And also, if there are stakeholders that would be particularly helpful in forming those recommendations, we can always have them participate as speakers to address this task force. I would also want to flag that, as Director Adams mentioned, that we had are aware of other similar task forces that have existed throughout the United States as this issue becomes more in the forefront of conversation. Other groups like Minnesota formed small working groups and had stakeholders kind of do small working groups to discuss some of the issues and then bring those working groups information back to the task forces. So that is something that we could consider, pulling together groups to get their opinions on these issues and bring them back to us. So our range of possibilities is pretty wide. And again, given the long ramp of the task force, we can engage stakeholders in a number of ways.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I will go ahead and find that list that'll identify where we have openings.
I was just going to say, because I can't see since I'm driving, I was wondering about DHS as a stakeholder and if they're on the list, given they do so much funding of community-based organizations. That was one thought that I had.
Okay, thank you, Lisa.
I was just going to second what Christina or this is Shahrazad from Along Wacombe. And I just wanted to, because I do a lot of work with Minnesota, and I just came from the Missing Murder Day at, and I know that they're the only ones that have a task force for Indigenous and Black missing and murdered. And so I think it would just be really great to bring them as a key stakeholder if we're looking at, for models out there of work, rather than seeing how that fits differently in Chicago, but seeing that the work, what they have been doing for at least a year now.
Right. Okay, Christina, and then Jennifer.
I was just going to agree. I would love to hear from other task forces and lessons learned.
Thank you. Jennifer?
Yep, plus one to that. I would also say that we are seeing a growing problem in the Latinx community with this issue, too. So I want to keep that in mind. I mean, there was a major story yesterday, but we do a lot of work with anti-trafficking work in Little Village, and we're seeing a growing number of missing and murdered women and girls in that community as well.
Thank you, Jennifer. Any other kind of comments or discussion around, you know, path forward and task force goals?
I just have a question. What state is that has a task force for Indigenous women?
Both Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay. And I have a feeling that now that we're getting so many people coming in across the southern border who have no, who are sort of ignominious, I guess, there are going to be a lot of people in that demographic, women that are and young girls who are going to go missing.
You know, Director Adams, if I might be able to speak.
Yes.
I'm thinking that since we the task force does not have a sunset date, as we go along, we might want to vote as a group to take a look at the Latino girls that are also or women who are also coming up missing because they are also victims of trafficking as well. And there are a number of other things that are going to come up and a number of things that we're not even aware of right now that is going to present itself. And I think that as things occur, we probably might want to seriously consider as a group to make some changes in terms of our focus and our goal so that we can address all of these different issues. I would like to have somebody from the two states that has committees such as ours to, if not appear in person, to present before us or do it virtually, you know, mm-hmm. to let us know what they've gone through, what this lesson learned kind of things and recommendations, you know, because they've done it before, we have not. Excuse me. And I really would like to just keep our group open to receive more and more information so that we can learn from one another and make some real impact out here. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hunter. So note taken, it sounds like the group is really interested in having to hear from other jurisdictions, maybe up front, and that will really help and inform how you all shape out your work moving forward. So we've seen that happen in task forces before, and it is a good way to kind of jumpstart things. So we're taking note of that. Christina, you could speak a little bit more about this. This task force is missing and murdered Chicago women. So it does not, it's broader. It doesn't particularly name ethnic group or a racial category. So Christina, can you speak a little bit about that?
Yes, that's correct. There is no specific demographic that is addressed by this. We're focused on Chicago women in the sense that we are to provide advice to the Chicago Police Department. So we can kind of think of this in a broad way. I know the sponsors were primarily interested in the missing and murdered Black and brown women. But we certainly can think about what communities we are particularly focused on. And then also considering, you know, what our definitions of women are and kind of how we want to address that issue as well. So we can kind of think of this in a very broad sort of way. And just want to flag that for the group that the language is open for us to address a number of different communities.
And of course, you know, being a data-driven group, some of the data will help to frame like how you prioritize But to your point, Senator Hunter, I think the group has an opportunity to look at other classifications as, you know, that definitely unfolds in real time as, you know, we're looking at the immigration issue or the trafficking issue in different communities. Senator Hunter, did you want to chime back in?
Yes, I think from a previous conversation, this is the first meeting that this group has had, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so perhaps it was a conversation I had with your staff or someone where the Chicago, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the Chicago police had declined to participate in this task force. Is that an accurate statement, or was I getting it mixed up with some other groups that I'm working with?
No, that's not correct. We have been in contact with the Chicago Police Department. They do not have... there is not a specific position for a member of the Chicago Police Department as one of the statutory members, but we have been in contact with them. They were unable to send a representative, but did represent that Mr. Limmer would be able to, if needed, kind of provide that perspective. But they are absolutely aware of this task force, and we hope that in future meetings they'd be able to come and speak to us and kind of provide some context for the work.
Okay, thank you. Because if I have to amend this legislation, I will as we go along, because we also need the FBI at the table as well, because they have research and data that we could definitely use and folks that we can talk to that can help us put this whole piece together. You know, we just need to take, and as well as the state police, because they have all kinds of research labs and data, and I'm sure that there are profiles out there that law enforcement has that we can definitely use in terms of a victim and a perpetrator, you know. And so, but that's just something that we have to figure out. And but it's real important to bring these people to the table.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other comments?
Charizard again. I think it's important for us as a group to present on what we've done on this issue. So we could kind of know, I know we talked about positions and things like that, but also just to know, like, we can learn from each other of what we've been doing in Chicago specifically. As I know, I would like us to really leverage the expertise of what's happening, but I also want to leverage the expertise in this group.
It's a great idea. Any other comments? Senator Hunter, you have your hand still raised.
I know. You know, I'm back and forth in my committee, and I'm missing a lot, but, you know, I think that at some point, we need to have a press conference to let the people know that we do have this task force in place and what we're looking at and what we're doing and any kind of progress we've made or lack thereof. We need to have it to make folks aware of what's going on, because I'm still getting inquiries as early as Monday from the media wanting to know, how long is it going to take us to meet? What are we about this issue? You know, and so I just think that at some point, perhaps over the summer, we need to have a press conference, even if it's just giving out information to women to be safe. And just even if it's just the do's and don'ts, you know what I mean? And get some of our law enforcement people to speak. And so I just think that's just a suggestion. I know I've had the same conversation with Representative Buckner, and he agrees with me as well. So that's just something to think about. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hunter. In the chat, there are a couple of things that are being raised. There's a question about how many members are present and how many are needed for quorum. Don, can you answer that?
We do have quorum. I believe we have 10 members present, and there's
15 members total.
Great. Thank you so much. And then also Don has put in the chat, there are four categories that we are still in need of members. And this is for those who are like on their phone and can't really see the chat. So Don, can you just kind of go over that list really quickly?
Sure. I can send out a complete list by email, but I know one category that we're missing. There's a lot of the categories have subcategories. And so category four, we don't have A, B, or C. And A is an association representing state's attorneys. B is an attorney representing the United States Attorney's Office in Chicago. And C is a circuit judge, associate judge, or attorney working in juvenile court. And this category allows for one or more representatives from among the following. So there isn't a limit if we get more people. And I know Jennifer Green responded that she could send some recommendations.
Director, can I jump in for a second?
Yes.
Don, if you send me that list over, I will forward it to the governor's executive appointments team. They have contacts at each of those places, so they may be able to provide us with some recommendations as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Council Scott. All right, well, we'll move along in the agenda. If you do have other comments or feedback around the development of goals and things of that nature before the next meeting, again, don't hesitate to sort of get that out of your brain, send it directly to Don English, and we'll make sure it's documented. So the next agenda item is plan for future meeting dates. We would like to schedule out meetings for the rest of the year, just so there's a cadence. It's on people's calendar that should help us to reach quorum at each of these meetings, and you can hold the dates as early as possible. So you can look for correspondence from Don on future meeting dates, but if we could maybe have a discussion of like what a cadence would be, I think statutorily, you are required to meet at a minimum quarterly. But if you wanted, you know, if there was something you wanted to discuss and you gave yourself an internal timeline, you can set, you know, meetings more frequently. But quarterly is the expectation at this point. So I'll throw out a suggestion. It's a very basic one. If this day, which is Wednesday at 2 o'clock, seem to work for people, and if you can look at your calendar 3 months from now, August, and I should have been prepared with an exact date, but like August, October, December of the last Wednesday of the month at 2 o'clock, if that kind of works or people think they can make that work, we could set that cadence. Or if others have ideas that they want to throw out to the group.
Director, I think that this is that today is the next to last Wednesday. It just happens that way. So were you thinking like fourth Wednesday of the month as the cadence?
Yeah, if you could look at the third Wednesday or the fourth Wednesday. And maybe we go with the third Wednesday if that works for everybody. And then if not, move to the fourth Wednesday and see if that works. So does the third Wednesday in August, October, and December work? And that might not be right. I'm actually counting the months on my fingers. So we'll send out those, quarterly meeting dates, and then people can respond once they actually see the dates more. But that's how we'll set it out, and that'll be our initial communication with you all. Okay. Next agenda item, training requirements. So as a part of our task force or any state agency task force members are to complete several trainings. One is an ethics, there's a sexual harassment training, and then a new training, which is our diversity, equity, and inclusion training. And these trainings are to be completed by members within the first 30 days of assignment. So you will receive an email very soon with login IDs and passwords in June. We actually have to request these for members that are not state employees. So that has taken, you know, just a little bit of time. But you'll receive that email in June with those passwords. And then at your own pace, you can take, it'll give you a link to these different training opportunities. And then you can take them and we'll send out reminders. And also check, our compliance officer will also check in and make sure that the committee and task members have completed the training. Scott Resolute, R-I-S-O-L-U-T-E, is our compliance officer who will be directly sending you those IDs and passwords as well as the link. So you can expect to get an email from him. And then if you have any questions, any technical difficulties, you can, you know, communicate directly with him and he'll be supportive and help you get those trainings done. Okay. So if there are no questions about the trainings, we can move on to public comment. Are there any public members present who have things they want to share, comments they want to make to the task force? Hearing none, we will adjourn and I will call for motion by task force member to adjourn and a second to support that motion.
Harry Ward, so I'm sorry, to adjourn.
I just have one question, I mean, one comment, I'm so sorry, from the public.
Yes, can
I'm
you,
just on my cell phone.
Okay, can you state your name and then you, yes, can you can go ahead and make your comment.
My name is Trina Reynolds Tyler. I just wanted to name that there is also a task force in Montana for Indigenous women. I don't know if, I know you mentioned Wisconsin and Minnesota, but there's one, a really big one that happened in Montana that did some really quality work too. I feel like, just for the record, want to make sure that that's mentioned.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that information. Are there any other public comments? If you are calling in, you can unmute yourself by selecting star six in case people are having trouble unmuting. Okay, well, back to our adjournment. And I do believe I have a motion. Can you remind me who made the motion?
Carrie Ward, motion to adjourn.
Yes, Carrie, is there a second?
Christina Villarreal will second.
Thank you, Christina. And we can do a voice vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Aye.
Any oppositions? Great. Thank you so much. You all have a wonderful, wonderful day. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
So, everyone.